From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now, or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Dylan the Tennessee Pal Fagan. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. That makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. Welcome back to the show, fellow conspiracy realist. We might be embarking on a two-part episode this week. We're not sure. We have a lot of thoughts about this. It's something pretty important to all of us. We wanted to begin tonight's exploration with a question. Do you believe in guardian angels, or do you know someone who does?
Jeez, that is a big question, because it's like, you know, you could think of someone in your life who looks out for you as like a corporeal embodiment of the idea of a guardian angel. And you could certainly use that like as a stand-in conversationally, like so-and-so, my best friend, is my real guardian angel. But then you have to think about it too from the kind of more spiritual side. And that's where things get a little trickier to kind of parse out, for me anyway.
Yeah, Matt saved my life a couple times, actually.
Same.
I don't necessarily believe in an angel, right? Which is an interesting part of the show, because the thing that would be described as an angel can be described and thought of in so many other ways, depending on the lens.
Yeah. The cultural framework is a huge deal. Is this just a higher educational power? Is there a demon, right? Whether or not a given deity is considered demonic or angelic kind of depends on the culture and the way the great game of telephone works out. It's weird, right? It's a question that is automatically divisive, because if you answer yes to the idea of guardian angels, then you're also required to say yes to a lot of other things: the presence of an afterlife, the concept of supernatural forces. And as we always say, your personal spiritual beliefs are your own. No one has ever had a spiritual belief that the rest of the world 100% agrees with.
Oh, well, you know, and also, like, I mean, talking about what one belief kind of then begets is, if there is a guardian angel on one shoulder, like the classic cartoon example, is there also a demon on your other shoulder fighting against your best interests?
Yeah. What are the mechanics of a given spiritual system, right? Is there some kind of Newtonian relationship between good and evil, such that an equal and opposite force shall always be generated? That's weird. I sound a little off base there, but we have to say this. The bulk of human science has yet to acknowledge an afterlife, much less the idea of purportedly spiritual guardians. Or have they? We're doing a setup. That's a setup.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Not all holiday presents and goodies get delivered by sleighs. A lot of them get purchased online. And all of that online shopping and browsing can mean you're more likely to expose your personal information to cyber criminals. If a cyber criminal gets access to your personal info, they can use it to unhappy your holidays overnight. So keep the holidays happier with Norton 360. Norton 360 provides comprehensive protection for your devices to help block ransomware and malware, a VPN to help keep your online activity private, whether you're on public or home Wi-Fi, and SafeWeb so you can shop more safely online and more. Stay safer this holiday season with Norton 360, one of the most trusted brands in cyber safety. Save up to 58% off your first year at Norton.com/secure. That's Norton.com/secure to save up to 58%. That's Norton.com/secure to save up to 58%.
All right, we're all set for the party. I've trimmed the tree, hung the mistletoe, and paired all those weird-shaped knives and forks with the appropriate cheeses. And I plugged in the Bartesian.
Bartesian?
It's a home cocktail maker that makes over 60 premium cocktails, plus a whole lot of seasonal favorites, too. I just got it for 50 off. So, how about a Cosmopolitan or a mistletoe margarita?
I'm thirsty.
Watch. I just pop in a capsule, choose my strength, and...
Wow, it's beginning to feel more seasonal in here already.
If your holiday party doesn't have a bartender, then you become the bartender. Unless you've got a Bartesian, because Bartesian crafts every cocktail perfectly in as little as 30 seconds. And I just got it for $50 off.
'Tis the season to be jollier.
Add some holiday flavor to every celebration with the sleek, sophisticated home cocktail maker, Bartesian. Get $50 off any cocktail maker at bartesian.com/cocktail. That's bartesian.com/cocktail.
Hi, everyone. It's Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb from The Today Show. We love this time of year. There's so much to celebrate.
That's right. Nobody does the holidays quite like today. All season long, join us for special performances with the brightest stars.
Plus, festive recipes to whip up the perfect holiday feast and great deals on the hottest toys and gifts for everyone on your list.
So join us every morning on NBC to make today your home for the holidays.
What is chronic migraine?
It's 15 or more headache days a month, each lasting 4 hours or more. Botox, onabotulinum toxin A, prevents headaches in adults with chronic migraine. It's not approved for adults with migraine who have 14 or fewer headache days a month. Ask your doctor about Botox.
Botox is a prescription medicine injected by your doctor. Effects of Botox may spread hours to weeks after injection, causing serious symptoms. Alert your doctor right away, as difficulty swallowing, speaking, breathing, eye problems, or muscle weakness can be signs of a life-threatening condition. Patients with these conditions before injection are at highest risk. Side effects may include allergic reactions, neck and injection site pain, fatigue, and headache. Allergic reactions can include rash, welts, asthma symptoms, and dizziness. Don't receive Botox if there's a skin infection. Tell your doctor your medical history, muscle or nerve conditions, including ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, myasthenia gravis or Lambert-Eaton syndrome, and medications, including botulinum toxins, as these may increase the risk of serious side effects.
Talk to your doctor and visit BotoxChronicMigraine.com or call 1-800-44-BOTOX to learn more.
This holiday season, surprise everyone on your list with the best gifts. Tickets to see their favorite artists live. Choose from thousands of concerts and comedy shows, including Mariah Carey, Mary J. Blige, Matt Matthews, Metallica, Thomas Rhett, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Sarah Silverman, and so many more. Share a memory together or give a gift they'll never forget. Find the most exciting gift for every fan at LiveNation.com/gifts. That's LiveNation.com/gifts.
Here are the facts. Welcome to the story of the third man syndrome, sometimes also called the third man factor. The name is derived from a passage that T.S. Eliot wrote in his haunting poem, The Wasteland, which also, if you like good stuff, you should read it in full. But specifically, third man factor is inspired by this passage.
Who is the third who walks always beside you? When I count, there are only you and I together.
But when I look ahead up the white road, there is always another one walking beside you.
Gliding, wrapped in a brown mantle, hooded, I do not know whether a man or a woman.
But who is that on the other side of you?
All right, because it's poetry, we're going to do finger snaps instead of claps.
Hey.
Good job, T.S. Man.
Yeah.
That is a beautiful poem. And you've mentioned that, or at least referenced that several times, because it is a long poem, right? I think this is in like the fifth section of the poem. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. I just reread it. I'm sure you guys did too. It's just, oh, mwah.
Guys, I can't help but think of that footprints thing people talk about, you know, about Jesus walking alongside you all the time. And the other set of footprints when they went away was when he was carrying you. That's kind of, I feel like referencing this.
The Lord replied, my son, my precious child, I love you and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you.
Exactly.
I don't want some dude carrying me around.
Hey, come on, man.
I'm just joking. It's
Jesus.
I'm comfortable.
he's yoked, man. He can pull it off. It's okay.
Yeah, it's he's a classic persistence hunter. Weird. This idea, both the poem and the prayer that we're citing there, they describe a bizarre phenomena across time and culture. During traumatic experiences, human beings often report sensing an unseen presence, sometimes hearing a voice, sometimes walking or encountering something they think they do see, a human stranger. Yet when this third man appears, it is never a threat. It is a comforting, inspiring, or helpful ally, and it only shows up at critical life or death moments. And afterwards, the survivors often claim this thing, whatever it is, this helpful stranger, saved their life.
Yeah, it's really weird. And it's almost always like a human or a human-like thing. That's why you get the angel, right? That's why you get that entity, that other entity, but it's human-like. So it's not, I don't know, it's corporeal in some way.
And humanoid. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, this is, there are so many stories about these occurrences. Just with a couple of quotations there, you can see this dates deep back into history. One of the best books about this, and shout out to our pal Dylan Fagan there, is The Third Man Factor, Surviving the Impossible by a guy named John Geiger. And in his book, which you definitely should read if you're interested in this stuff, you'll see a litany of car, helicopter, plane crashes, people lost in the wilderness, people getting shot with firearms, other traumatic injuries, whatever the case may be. It appears that in any situation, there are at least a handful of instances involving a mysterious presence that shows up at just the right time and then disappears once the danger has passed. And the survivors, this is a weird thing, the survivors are certain of what they've experienced, and they might ask family members, they might ask first responders, what happened to that person who pulled me from the fire? What happened to that person who led me out of the building on September 11th? And the response is always, there was no one there.
There's a perk, dude, you can get in one of the Fallout games called the Mysterious Stranger perk, where like this dude in a fedora will come and like, you know, take out a bunch of enemies that are coming for you and then vanish like Kaiser Soze.
Oh, yeah. I think that character's always got like a long coat on.
That's right. Know? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Always shows up in the VATS system.
Exactly. That's right. Yeah. I love the VATS. All hail the VATS system.
Yeah. Okay. So this book is fantastic. And if you want to check out a video version of it, if you've got some time to hang out, there's, I think it's called Idea City, a talk that John Geiger gave about this book and about the findings. And it's just great. You can look it up on YouTube right now.
Mm-hmm. You can also, if you're a little more pressed for time, there's a great primer interview he has on NPR with our buddy Guy Raz. Guy, we haven't met, but we do have a parasocial relationship with you.
Sorry,
bud. Welcome to the show. So one of the most famous documented examples about this, as a matter of fact, we were talking off air, one of the things that likely informed T.S. Eliot was a guy named Sir Ernest Shackleton. He was, for anybody who's seen The Terror, I know we all love that novel series. Yes. and that show. This guy, Shackleton, is in his prime around the time that Europe was sending a lot of people to all sorts of wackadoo places. He was in a 1914 to 1917 Antarctic expedition. And their boat, the Endurance, became trapped in ice for about 2 years. It kind of, and I hope this isn't a hot take, it kind of sucked.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, that would suck. So this is definitely the actual historical event that influenced the Terror, because that's what happens. They get, like, locked in ice, and they have, you know, begin to starve and run out of provisions and also lose their minds.
Unfortunately, yeah, this was not a singular occurrence.
Yeah, yeah,
so Simmons is, yeah, kind of writing about a genre of bad stuff happening. When Shackleton and his crew get jammed up literally in the ice, he and two companions say the only way we're going to make it out of here is if we take a very dangerous journey on foot. So they trek across mountain ranges where humans are not meant to be.
That humans have not been to, right? There's no names for these things
that we know of.
Well, at least he describes it in that way, I think, like unnamed mountains.
Yes, yeah, very Lovecraftian.
Are they mountains of madness?
Right. Ooh. Exactly. And they go across glaciers. And the whole thing is they're hoping against the odds that they can reach a whaling station in Stromness Bay. Somehow they survive. There's three of them. And after they survive, when they return to civilization, they unanimously credit their survival to an unidentified fourth traveler whom they all thought, they were all convinced this guy they did not know was with them every step of the way and was their guide, was telling them where to go and how to get there.
Basically encouraging them the entire way, right? Mm. It's almost like it's the problem-solving part of all of their minds where it went together into this fourth person that just said, this is what we do now, go. You know, like that kind of thing.
Well, it's shared between three people, three minds.
But I mean, is the idea that this is some sort of collective delusion? This is some sort of product of ice madness?
This is the thing that haunts these explorers for the rest of their natural lives. As a matter of fact, we have a couple of quotations, one from Shackelford's seminal work on his expeditions called simply South, because, you know, it's Antarctica. This is kind of a long quotation, but I suggest we round robin it because it gives us a real sense of place.
When I look back at those days, I have no doubt that Providence guided us, not only across the snowfields, but across the storm-white sea that separated Elephant Island from our landing place on South Georgia.
I know that during that long and racking march of 36 hours over the unnamed mountains and glaciers of South Georgia, it seemed to me often that there were four, not three.
I said nothing to my companions on the point. But afterwards, Worsley said to me, "Boss, I had a curious feeling on the march that there was another person with us."
Crean confessed to the same idea. One feels the dearth of human words, the roughness of mortal speech, in trying to describe things intangible. But a record of our journeys would be incomplete without a reference to a subject very near to our hearts.
And before we get to the next part, let's acknowledge that during this particular era of exploration, it was not uncommon for authors to embellish, to zhuzh up their stories a little bit so that they could sell books and do lectures more successfully. However, this case is different. It's not one of those because, as our buddy indicates, his companions 100% unanimously agreed with him. In fact, one of them, Frank Worsley, who we just mentioned, he later went on to write something eerily similar.
He said, "There was indeed one thing about our crossing of South Georgia, a thing which I have never been able to explain. Whenever I reviewed the incidents of that march, I had the subconscious feeling that there were four of us instead of three."
And guys, I couldn't help but, you know, remark on in the beginning of the previous quotation, the word Providence is capitalized.
Yes. Yeah.
And I just, for a second, I was like, was that the name they gave to this unseen helper? But it is a religious word that is imbued with like godlike power. And it really does refer specifically to divine guardianship from a deity or a god. And often people of faith thank God for his quote unquote providence.
Exactly. Yeah. Providence is in this milieu, it is a way to attempt to explain how you managed not to die when the odds were so against you.
Right.
Yeah. Well, before we move on to another example, just there's another one that that's coming to mind because it's so old. And I'm trying to imagine like these older written down experiences like this, like 1915, 1917 kind of era. Back in 1895, there was this guy, Joshua Slocum, that is also described by John Geiger in his book, it's just so weird to me. This one, all of these are weird, but this one was particularly strange to me because of maybe the physical aspect of it. This is a dude who he's a sailor. He's like a captain of a ship. He stops off in port, eats a bunch of cheese. Apparently some of that cheese starts to mess with his system. He gets really sick.
Cheese madness.
As he gets back onto a ship and sails it out in the Indian Ocean, and as he's going, there's a terrible storm, and he's so sick that he basically passes out. And then he has this remembrance of waking up and seeing a person, a tall man, manning the wheel. And the dude says to him, hey, I'm going to get you through this night to safety, basically. Wherein the dude passes back out, Slocum, and then wakes up and he's safe and everything's cool.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny too, though. There are often also accounts of people at death's door, you know, at the very ends of their lives, seeing a third person that does not rescue them from death, but rather shepherds them into death.
Or tells them to turn around.
Also, yeah. Yeah.
Yes. It goes, and I love that we're mentioning Slocum, who is an historical figure that I wish more people read. His book, Sailing Alone Around the World, is a stem to stern banger. Yes, that's a ship joke. There's also there's a great song about him by a group called Rail Yard Ghost. And it's the Ballad of Joshua Slocum. It's also great. But this is, I love that we're pointing this out, because it seems that we see already one thing in common. People are not having this happen on a regular Tuesday, right?
No.
You're not late for Blockbuster. That's a dated reference. You're not like late to go buy a quesadilla and then a mysterious stranger shows up and helps you through traffic. The stakes have to be pretty high for the third man to appear.
It reminds me of the veil concept that's referenced a lot in several different religious sets of beliefs, as well as in popular culture, where as you get closer to that, the actual veil that separates this world from whatever the next one is, it's almost like you become visible to that other side, and perhaps something from the other side comes in to either, again, as you were saying, pull you in or get you out of there. It's not your time yet, or something, or maybe just guide your ship.
The void stares back, right? And so much fiction is full of this idea. Again, Lovecraft really dug this concept that the idea of true perception or enhanced perception is a two-way street. The ability that a human may have to see beyond the mortal pale also makes them more visible. And this is, to your excellent point, Matt, this is something that we see across cultures and across spiritual belief systems.
Yeah, that's the thing that always gets me. When you start seeing all of those parallels and synchronicities between cultures and religions separated by, you know, thousands and thousands of miles and language barriers and all that, that's where my head really starts to begin to believe in this kind of thing.
It's fascinating, right? We'll pause for a moment for a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Not all holiday presents and goodies get delivered by Slays. A lot of them get purchased online. And all of that online shopping and browsing can mean you're more likely to expose your personal information to cyber criminals. If a cyber criminal gets access to your personal info, they can use it to unhappy your holidays overnight. So keep the holidays happier with Norton 360. Norton 360 provides comprehensive protection for your devices to help block ransomware and malware, a VPN to help keep your online activity private, whether you're on public or home Wi-Fi, and SafeWeb so you can shop more safely online and more. Stay safer this holiday season with Norton 360, one of the most trusted brands in cyber safety. Save up to 58% off your first year at norton.com/secure. That's norton.com/secure to save up to 58%. That's norton.com/secure to save up to 58%.
All right, we're all set for the party. I've trimmed the tree, hung the mistletoe, and paired all those weird-shaped knives and forks with the appropriate cheeses. And I plugged in the Bartesian.
Bartesian?
It's a home cocktail maker that makes over 60 premium cocktails, plus a whole lot of seasonal favorites, too. I just got it for 50 off. So, how about a Klosmopolitan or a mistletoe margarita?
I'm thirsty.
Watch. I just pop in a capsule, choose my strength, and...
Wow, it's beginning to feel more seasonal in here already.
If your holiday party doesn't have a bartender,
bartender, then you become the bartender. Unless you've got a Bartesian, because Bartesian crafts every cocktail perfectly in as little as 30 seconds. And I just got it for $50 off.
Tis the season to be jollier.
Add some holiday flavor to every celebration with the sleek, sophisticated home cocktail maker, Bartesian. Get $50 off any cocktail maker at bartesian.com/cocktail. That's bartesian.com/cocktail.
Hi, everyone. It's Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb from the Today Show. We love this time of year. There's so much to celebrate.
That's right. Nobody does the holidays quite like Today. All season long, join us for special performances with the brightest stars.
Plus, festive recipes to whip up the perfect holiday feast and great deals on the hottest toys and gifts for everyone on your list.
So join us every morning on NBC to make Today your home for the holidays.
Chronic migraine is 15 or more headache days a month, each lasting 4 hours or more.
Botox, onabotulinum toxin A, prevents headaches in adults with chronic migraine before they start. Botox is not approved for adults with migraine who have 14 or fewer headache days a month. Botox prevents, on average, 8 to 9 headache days a month versus 6 to 7 for placebo.
Botox is a prescription medicine injected by your doctor. Effects of Botox may spread hours to weeks after injection, causing serious symptoms. Alert your doctor right away as difficulty swallowing, speaking, breathing, eye problems, or muscle weakness can be signs of a life-threatening condition. Patients with these conditions before injection are at highest risk. Side effects may include allergic reactions, neck and injection site pain, fatigue, and headache. Allergic reactions can include rash, welts, asthma symptoms, and dizziness. Don't receive Botox if there's a skin infection. Tell your doctor your medical history, muscle or nerve conditions, including ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, myasthenia gravis, or Lambert-Eaton syndrome, and medications, including botulinum toxins, as these may increase the risk of serious side effects.
Talk to your doctor and visit BotoxChronicMigraine.com or call 1-800-44-BOTOX to learn more.
This holiday season, surprise everyone on your list with the best gifts. Tickets to see their favorite artists live. Choose from thousands of concerts and comedy shows, including Mariah Carey, Mary J. Blige, Matt Matthews, Metallica, Thomas Rhett, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Sarah Silverman, and so many more. Share a memory together or give a gift they'll never forget. Find the most exciting gift for every fan at LiveNation.com/gifts. That's LiveNation.com/gifts.
And we've returned. While we're sticking with explorers, do we want to talk a little bit about Frank Smith?
Oh, dude.
Mr. Smythe?
Yeah, Smythe, if you wish. Yes, because that's S-M-Y-T-H. Still an explorer, 1933. We don't want to talk trash about him, okay? Way before climbing Mount Everest became an environmentally dangerous proposition for the world. This guy was one of the front runners to summit Everest, which means reaching the top of this cartoonish mountain. And the journey to the top was an absolute disaster. And honestly, not surprising it would be so. He had a hiking party with him. They fell back as they ascended the mountain because the wind was brutal. There's snow everywhere. There's dangerous, unstable ice. And of course, there's a lot of low oxygen, which will play into our exploration tonight. Our buddy Frank, though, he continues. He presses on when the others fall back, and he does not summit Everest. He misses it by just 1,000 feet. But unlike many other people in the past and, you know, in the present who attempt to climb Everest, he survives. And he thinks he survives because somebody helped him.
It's really weird because he did have a bunch of companions with him, right? So he already has this sense of companionship as he's making his way up. Then he gets to that point you're talking about, Ben, where he's like, now, okay, I'm on my own. And something stays with him there. And it's not like he just had that sensation, right? He acted on it.
Right, yeah. And this is something that, you know, write to us with your own accounts here. We think this will be personal to a lot of our fellow conspiracy realists. Conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com. Have you ever had a moment where you knew that you might be losing it, like a couple badgers might be falling out of your cognitive bag, because Frank does. He is later writing his diary and he says, oh, I had this moment where I realized something was not all the pistons were firing the way they should, because I pulled out a slab of something called Kindle Mint Cake.
I've heard it's like a, not a candy bar, but something similar to that. That's the way I think about it.
Like peppermint brittle of some sort, perhaps.
Something like, yeah. And he breaks it in half and he turns around. He's like, oh, I'm going to give the other half to this guy who's with me. And there's no one there. And he thinks, oh,
whoops. Isn't that funny, though? The idea of thinking about the moment where metacognitively know you're not experiencing things accurately, and yet there you are having that experience.
Immediate rest.
I look forward to it, fellas. I look forward to being aware of my own descent into madness.
You say that now, but I
know,
tell you,
guys,
from the front lines, it's I'm not having a great time.
I know. I'm not. Wait a minute now. You're fine, Ben. Don't worry.
I can't count on my looks forever, but I appreciate that. No.
Well, I want to get back into Smith because he's got a great quote here.
Yes.
But just I want to add this one thing. When my grandfather was on his deathbed, and we talked about this, I think, in a couple other episodes, but that thing that happens right as you're about to pass over, where he was referencing things that he was seeing in the ceiling and people and stuff and objects, and he was seeing it and experiencing it in real time. And it just, you know, that's another common thing, right? Mm. Oh, you'll hear someone who's on their deathbed exclaim, oh, there you are, and talking about someone specific. It does make me also make a connection to that here, where Smith is on the edge. He is not doing great. The reason he has to turn back is because he's almost dead. It's terrible conditions. There's no way he's going to make it if he keeps going. But whatever this thing is, he feels is there.
Yeah. He says, all the time that I was climbing alone, I had a strong feeling that I was accompanied by a second person. The feeling was so strong that it completely eliminated, listen to this part, completely eliminated all loneliness I might otherwise have felt.
Whoa.
And like you were saying, Noel, he's aware. Yeah.
Well, it's encouragement, right? Mm-hmm. It's someone is pushing, someone physically is essentially that you have the sensation that someone is physically pushing you to keep going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And these guys are not crackpots. We got to point that out. These are not the hippies of their time by any measure or means. These are, in the case of explorers in particular, hard, practical individuals. Sure, they probably all have their own set of closely held spiritual beliefs.
Right.
But that just means they're the kind of guys who will pray while they're also double checking their gear.
That's right. Yeah. These are guys that are experienced, seasoned, you know, wildernessy dudes. They know how to survive in a pinch, and would not rely on the divine, you know, as such.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Their idea being that whatever divine forces may exist, you still have to prepare yourself for life in the real brutal world. And look, we're talking about this often rose-colored glasses age of exploration. It launched 1,000 novels and 1,000 travelogues and so on, but it's important to know the third man factor still exists in the modern day. You'll hear stories from, historical figures, a lot of them actually. You'll hear stories from a lot of military veterans, and some in the audience may have had this experience as you're hearing this tonight. You'll also hear much more recent stories, like people who survived 9/11. We referred to this at the start of our exploration, but maybe we should talk a little bit more about Ron DeFrancesco.
Ron DeFrancesco has this crazy story where he's working in the South Tower. He is a money market trader. It is 9/11.
He's on the 84th floor.
Yeah, he's above the impact that occurs in the South Tower that day. So he goes into the stairwell. It's filled with smoke. Yep. There's fire down below in the stairwell. He has to get down on his stomach, and he's just there, as you would, panicking, right?
Sure.
What the heck am I going to do here? And he said there were people around him who had just kind of given up. There were people who were just, you know, crying, wailing, and he felt something, someone physically touch him, grab his hand, and pull him down towards the fire. And this thing, whatever it was, gave him courage and just said, come on, we have to go. If you want to live, go now. And he went down through the fire, like pushed through the fire and debris that was there, made it down the stairwell where it looked normal and everything was fine. And he ended up being the final person out of the South Tower before it collapsed.
The last person out of the South Tower before it collapsed. Yeah. And Thomas Geiger talks about this quite in depth. Also, you know, if we assume Ron's perspective here, then it makes sense that you wouldn't see the person because of all the smoke and the chaos. So now it's just an any port in a storm situation.
But it wasn't a person. It was just him.
That person, if they do indeed exist, have never identified themselves. They have never been found. There is no record of a second person accompanying Ron outside of the South Tower.
Well, guys, do you think there's a difference or a separation between third man syndrome and just good old-fashioned divine intervention?
That's the question. Guardian angel, or is there another explanation?
Well, I guess I just mean like not manifesting as an individual, but maybe like getting a premonition, you know, hearing something on the radio that you interpret in such a way that leads you to take an action that ultimately ends up saving your life, things like that.
Yeah, it's difficult because often when people explore or navigate or interrogate the idea of divine intervention, they're doing so with the benefit of retrospect.
Oh, right? That's very true.
Yeah. And you can get our full divine intervention ideas, I think, an episode that came out last year, like October, November last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this actually harkens back to many other episodes we've done. We'll recommend them as we're exploring this. But our question now is, what's the deal? Why have so many people from widely disparate backgrounds? Why have so many people throughout history encountered this phenomena even before it had a name? Is the third man syndrome just a more secular way of believing in the supernatural? Could it somehow be possible for us to truly understand what's going on here?
And with that, we're going to break just for a moment, hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Not all holiday presents and goodies get delivered by sleighs. A lot of them get purchased online. And all of that online shopping and browsing can mean you're more likely to expose your personal information to cyber criminals. If a cyber criminal gets access to your personal info, they can use it to unhappy your holidays overnight. So keep the holidays happier with Norton 360. Norton 360 provides comprehensive protection for your devices to help block ransomware and malware, a VPN to help keep your online activity private, whether you're on public or home Wi-Fi, and SafeWeb so you can shop more safely online and more. Stay safer this holiday season with Norton 360, one of the most trusted brands in cyber safety. Save up to 58% off your first year at norton.com/secure. That's norton.com/secure to save up to 58%. That's norton.com/secure to save up to 58%.
All right, we're all set for the party. I've trimmed the tree, hung the mistletoe, and paired all those weird-shaped knives and forks with the appropriate cheeses. And I plugged in the Bartesian.
Bartesian?
It's a home cocktail maker that makes over 60 premium cocktails, plus a whole lot of seasonal favorites, too. I just got it for 50 off. So, how about a Clazmopolitan or a mistletoe margarita?
I'm thirsty.
Watch. I just pop in a capsule, choose my strength, and...
Wow, it's beginning to feel more seasonal in here already.
If your holiday party doesn't have a bartender, then you become the bartender. Unless you've got a Bartesian, because Bartesian crafts every cocktail perfectly in as little as 30 seconds. And I just got it for $50 off.
Tis the season to be jollier.
Add some holiday flavor to every celebration with the sleek, sophisticated home cocktail maker, Bartesian. Get $50 off any cocktail maker at bartesian.com/cocktail. That's bartesian.com/cocktail.
Hi, everyone. It's Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb from The Today Show. We love this time of year. There's so much to celebrate.
That's right. Nobody does the holidays quite like today. All season long, join us for special performances with the brightest stars.
Plus, festive recipes to whip up the perfect holiday feast and great deals on the hottest toys and gifts for everyone on your list.
So join us every morning on NBC to make today your home for the holidays.
What is chronic migraine?
It's 15 or more headache days a month, each lasting 4 hours or more. Botox, onabotulinum toxin A, prevents headaches in adults with chronic migraine. It's not approved for adults with migraine who have 14 or fewer headache days a month. Ask your doctor about Botox.
Botox is a prescription medicine injected by your doctor. Effects of Botox may spread hours to weeks after injection, causing serious symptoms. Alert your doctor right away, as difficulty swallowing, speaking, breathing, eye problems, or muscle weakness can be signs of a life-threatening condition. Patients with these conditions before injection are at highest risk. Side effects may include allergic reactions, neck and injection site pain, fatigue, and headache. Allergic reactions can include rash, welts, asthma symptoms, and dizziness. Don't receive Botox if there's a skin infection. Tell your doctor your medical history, muscle or nerve conditions, including ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, myasthenia gravis or Lambert-Eaton syndrome, and medications, including botulinum toxins, as these may increase the risk of serious side effects.
Talk to your doctor and visit BotoxChronicMigraine.com or call 1-800-44-BOTOX to learn more.
This holiday season, surprise everyone on your list with the best gifts. Tickets to see their favorite artists live. Choose from thousands of concerts and comedy shows, including Mariah Carey, Mary J. Blige, Matt Matthews, Metallica, Thomas Rhett, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Sarah Silverman, and so many more. Share a memory together or give a gift they'll never forget. Find the most exciting gift for every fan at LiveNation.com/gifts. That's LiveNation.com/gifts.
And we've returned.
Here's where it gets crazy. Maybe, you know, maybe we all have very spiritual people or very religious people in our lives. And after talking with some of those folks, you know, I was speaking with some monks about this a while back out there in Conyers, Georgia. For people of that, you know, pre-existing belief system, all the explanation you need is helpful spirits or angels or divine intervention. Why would you look a gift horse in the mouth? Just thank your lucky stars that you survived. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's true. It's true. And I mean, so often, you know, these types of phenomenon that we describe are kind of ways of codifying or of, like, you know, making manifest things that religions can explain, you know, in and of themselves. They don't need science. They don't need any other, like, rational explanation. But, you know, as thinking individuals, we oftentimes are looking for that if we're not fully just able to just lean on faith, right?
Yeah. The way I like to put it is science attempts to answer how a thing occurs. Religion attempts to answer why.
I like that. Because it does feel as though if you experience something like that, this third man syndrome, whatever it is, you feel as though it helped you through and survive a situation. In my mind, that individual who survived would want to, in some way, devote themselves to whatever that thing was, right? If is this a part of some religious belief? Is this part of some spiritual thing that I'm currently not connected to that I maybe should be more?
Like NDEs, near-death experiences, the transformative, thanks folks, still learning English, the transformative aspects of this are similar to the overview effect that astronauts encounter when they see the world from above.
Right.
You know, it makes you rethink your priorities and your place in reality.
You know, we talked about this pretty recently, at least this year, the overview effect. And I think it came up that William Shatner, you know, who went into space, he had a very distinctly different experience of the overview effect, where he experienced it very negatively, not in a way of, like, the grandeur of the universe, but in a way of, like, boy, are we fucked.
Right. Also, the overview effect is not super friendly to people with big egos. Not saying that's Will. I haven't met him. But
hey, well, that also that feeling that, oh, shoot, we're alone on that thing.
Yeah, this is, everybody is living on a non-consensual spaceship. Welcome to Earth. Other people, though, are not immediately just taking this as it is. A lot of folks will not look a metaphysical gift horse in the mouth, right? Whatever happened, however it came to be, whatever providence smiled upon me, thank you. I'll keep it moving. I'll try to be better. But other folks are increasingly interested in solving this mystery. Can we explain the thing? The humans are the great artificers. We want to know the mechanisms, they say. So there's this interview we mentioned on NPR with Guy Raz talking with Geiger. You can hear a bunch of other stuff. Again, we cannot overemphasize how good this book is. He is one of the world's foremost experts on third man factor. And he says, look, science may provide some answers. Spirituality and science do not have to be diametrically opposed. They can coexist. And he says, look, first, you don't have to be spiritual to have these kind of inexplicable experiences. If was true, then how come atheists and skeptics and other non-believers still have the same thing happen?
Dude, another great place to throw in an example here, Jerry Leninger, who was on the Mir space station in the late 90s, I think 97, there were a series of like terrible events that occurred on the Mir space station. We're talking like big old fires when you're floating around there in orbit on the Mir space station. And Jerry, who is at least is described by Geiger as very scientifically minded, you know, this is a dude with PhDs, medical degrees, very serious. Again, Geiger describes him as scientifically minded. He's up there going through these things, and he says he's guided by some other presence that is not physically on, you know, Mir space station with him, but is guiding him and telling him solutions to problems, right?
Yeah.
Like in these in these terrifying situations, there's this other presence that he kind of attributes to his father. So for somebody who isn't religiously minded, perhaps it's like an ancestors kind of connection or someone else who's passed on, because his dad had died a couple years back when he was going through this, and he attributed this presence to his dad.
Yeah, because he was primed to do so, as we'll get to, as we'll see. You know, this is a big point. The first clue to solving this case hinges upon perspective, to kind of to what you're saying earlier. Survivors all experience this presence, however they may explain it, as something outside of them, external. So our question begins with most of critical thought, or a lot of it, is reinterpreting how you frame a question. So what if the answer to the third man mystery can be found not outside, but within the person experiencing it? That's where we get to the science.
Yeah, at its core, third man syndrome is really most easily described or explained as a coping mechanism. I think we've been hinting at that kind of all along. When we, as you know, thinking, feeling, terrified, often human beings, are in a situation that threatens our existence, our minds are pretty malleable and can play some pretty interesting and often functional tricks on us. They can create these worlds, these hallucinatory sensory experiences that help us parse something that feels unparsable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a side question that has nothing to do with our exploration this week.
Please.
What is cope? Like, I see it on the internet where they say, oh, that's a cope. Is it bad? Is it
good? I don't know. Well, I do, you know, copium people talk about sometimes, or hopium, but I don't know. I think a cope is just like a way of getting by. It's just like it's very much what we're talking about here. It's just like a method of powering through.
Okay.
I think. Okay. And I you know, Ben, I haven't actually seen that in internet parlance, but I'll be on the lookout. I bet you the moment now that my mind's aware of this, I'll see it everywhere. What's that one
Bader
called?
Meinhof.
That's the one.
Yeah, might happen. Shout out to our friends on our Facebook page, Here's Where It Gets Crazy, who have been having a lovely discourse about Bader Meinhof as well. We see you. We're on there. This idea of science is fascinating. I love you bringing this up, because we know that if you look at just the way a human brain functions, take third man experiences out of the equation for a moment, you see things get weird when you're really sleep deprived. You know, I love sleep deprivation because it it helps your mind go to really weird places. It's kind of meditation. It's probably not good for you. But exhaustion, high altitude environments, you know, that lack of oxygen, they all can disrupt normal brain function. So your point, Noel, perhaps that does lead to, well, we know it provably leads to vivid hallucinations, sensory experiences. What was that voice over there? What's that on the edge of my peripheral vision? So because this can alter your normal brain function, these extreme conditions may be fundamental to the third man factor. They may be the crucial piece that has to happen because, again, the third man only shows up when you're in a very high stakes situation, right?
Have you guys ever seen the Orson Welles film, The Third Man?
Yes. Yes, I have.
I haven't. I've just seen clips from it. I know it's like a classic noir and I've been meaning to. I was reading up on it a little bit and I'm not sure if it actually has anything to do with what we're talking about today, but I had to bring it up just because of the name alone.
Yeah, there are a couple third man things, right? There's one by Carol Reed. I think the idea, first off, it's just a really great title. You know what I mean?
Well, there's also, of course, Jack White's record label, Third Man Records.
Ah, nice. Hey,
who is this muse up there somewhere that is inspiring all of this music and
there you go,
filmicry? What? Intense situations at the cusp of potentially death, right? There are stories in here of people who were floating on a raft for 30 days for months who experience this thing because they're experiencing all the things you just described there, exhaustion, sleep deprivation, starvation, all of that occurring simultaneously. And it does appear to be some kind of I would say cusp of death, really. I mean, you're right there on the edge.
You're right there on the edge. And it's huge in a lot of fiction too. For anybody who is still kind of trying to grok what we're describing, think of novels like The Life of Pi or the film adaptation, right? We all remember that. Just as you're describing there, Matt, there's someone unfortunately stranded on a boat in the open ocean. And are their animal companions real? Or is it a hallucination? I mean,
a tiger of the mind.
Well, and it's almost a way your conscious mind can't get you to do the actions that your body needs to take.
It's because functional. I love that.
Well, because your body is so, let's say, just exhaustion, right? And maybe potentially hypothermia, if you're talking about Shackleton and his crew, just to get your legs to keep moving.
Right.
Like sometimes maybe your conscious mind won't allow you to do it. So you need something else in there.
Because your conscious mind is a grand tapestry of fears and safeguards and constraints, which is why your unconscious mind, if you're human, does so much excellent work at night while you're asleep. So look, we know that oxygen deprivation on its own will give you crazy experiences. To be clear, do not try this at home. This is not medical advice. Try to just keep breathing oxygen the way you already do. And hold the phone. Call the third man. This is part one of a two-part series. Guys, let's be honest. We're not exactly sure how we're going to break this up yet. Wow. I can't believe that we went so deep on this. This is fascinating. I think very personal to all of us.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I mean, even outside of just like the facts, as you put it, Ben, I mean, we all have so much visceral, very personal connection and experience with this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I just want to encourage everyone to keep that open mind as we go through this, because it is way more interesting, as we encourage you to do in this show, in every episode, just allow yourself to think about some of these things if they don't match up exactly with either your scientific or religious beliefs. Just let yourself go there.
Yeah, we're coming into this, as we always endeavor to do, with humility, with respect, with great affection, because this is a very sensitive, heavy topic, so much so that we didn't share a lot of our own personal experiences. I don't know why I had a Maryland accent on own there, but we're good. Maybe I'm being possessed by a third entity. We will explore more of this in the future, and we want to hear your personal stories in as much as you feel comfortable sharing them. Find us on email, call us on the phone, find us on the internet.
The internet's indeed the internet of things. You can find us at the handle Conspiracy Stuff, where we exist on Facebook with our Facebook group. Here's where it gets crazy. Get into the conversation with your fellow conspiracy realists. We are also Conspiracy Stuff on YouTube, where we have video content galore for you to enjoy, as well as on X, FKA Twitter. On Instagram and TikTok, however, we are Conspiracy Stuff Show.
We have a phone number. You can call it. You can call it right now. It is 1-833-STDWYTK. If you are going to call it, go ahead and put it in your phone as a contact just in case it rings you back. You won't think it's some telemarketer. It'll be us calling you back. And when you call in, tell us something about maybe McDonald Critchley, the dude who wrote The Idea of a Presence, which is one of the things that went into this episode. Or again, your personal thing that happened. Also, when you call in, give yourself a cool nickname and let us know if we can use your name and message on the air. If you got more to say than can fit in that message, why not instead send us a good old-fashioned email? We are
the Hollow Men. Kidding. In the entities that read every piece of correspondence we receive, be well aware yet unafraid, sometimes the void writes back specifically to you. Are we telling the truth? There's one way to find out. You'll have to join us out here in the dark. Conspiracy at iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Not all holiday presents get delivered by sleigh. A lot come from shopping online, which means you may be exposing your personal information to cybercriminals when shopping or browsing during the holidays. Norton 360 provides comprehensive protection for your devices, a VPN for your online privacy, and SafeWeb so you can shop more safely online. Stay safer this holiday season with Norton 360. Save up to 58% off your first year at norton.com/secure.
Does money stress you out? Let Facet flip your financial chaos into clarity.
Finding Facet immediately put us at ease.
Facet's innovative approach to financial planning ensures your money works as hard as you do, enabling members to experience the joys of having your finances in order.
That makes us Facet for life now, I guess.
Visit Facet.com, F-A-C-E-T.com to learn more.
This ad is sponsored by Facet. Facet Wealth is an SEC-registered investment advisor. This is not an offer to buy or sell securities, nor is it investment, legal, or tax advice. These testimonials are from current Facet members who are not compensated. All opinions are their own and not a guarantee of a similar outcome.
All right, we're all set for the party. I've trimmed the tree, hung the mistletoe, and paired all those weird-shaped knives and forks with the appropriate cheeses. And I plugged in the Bartesian.
Bartesian?
It's a home cocktail maker that makes over 60 premium cocktails, plus a whole lot of seasonal favorites, too. I just got it for 50 off. So, how about a Cosmopolitan or a mistletoe margarita?
I'm thirsty.
Watch. I just pop in a capsule, choose my strength, and...
Wow, it's beginning to feel more seasonal in here already.
If your holiday party doesn't have a bartender, then you become the bartender. Unless you've got a Bartesian, because Bartesian crafts every cocktail perfectly in as little as 30 seconds. And I just got it for $50 off.
Tis the season to be jollier.
Add some holiday flavor to every celebration with the sleek, sophisticated home cocktail maker, Bartesian. Get $50 off any cocktail maker at Bartesian.com/cocktail. That's Bartesian.com/cocktail.
Hate has been winning for too long. It's at an all-time high. And too many people are facing too much hate all over this country. To turn the tide, we have to stand together. As a united team, we can change the momentum. It's time to take a timeout against hate. Visit StandUpToAllHate.org to help. Join us in calling for a hashtag timeout against hate by following at What's Up With Hate or posting the blue square emoji.
Traveling to see your fave sports team is cool,
but traveling with Amex Platinum for the big game is even better.
Right this way.
With access to dedicated card member entrances at select events, you can skip the line.
And one.
And with access to the Centurion Lounge,
he shoots a three.
You can catch the next game on the way home. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex. Card member entrance access not limited to Amex Platinum card.